Please take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. It's found on page 551 in the Church Bibles, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. And now please give your full attention to God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. May God bless unto us the reading of His holy word. And now please turn to our Heidelberg Catechism reading from Lord's Day 50. You can find it in your sermon outline or on page 895 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Bellingham URC is a Reformed church, and we do not put the Catechism on the same level as Scripture, but we do believe it is a faithful summary of the whole counsel of God which He's given to us in the 66 books of the Bible. I will read the question and let us confess the answer together. Question and answer number 125. Congregation, what does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. Amen. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, we pray to God, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." Now, in the next three petitions, the pronoun changes from your to us. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation. But although the pronoun has changed, our prayer has not suddenly become selfish or self-centered, and our catechism highlights that. We confess in answer 125 that the reason we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," is so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good. You see, friends, by now we have learned that our lives are and always should be first and foremost about God, devoted to His name, to His kingdom, and to His will. But in order for us to live fully for His glory, there are certain things we need, like our daily bread. Obviously, we are not disembodied spirits. We are human beings. Not only do we have a soul, we also have a body. We are flesh and blood. And if it is our duty to seek that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, then we need that which sustains our earthly life. In order to fully devote ourselves to God, we need our daily bread. In fact, this fourth request is quite instructive because there are some people who unfortunately make an artificial distinction between the sacred and the secular. There are those who fall into the trap of thinking that it is somehow unspiritual or less spiritual to pray to God concerning their earthly needs. But if we understand our place in God's kingdom, as His church, as soldiers of the Lord, well, we need provisions. Supply lines of an army must be maintained. And a wise king, of course, ensures that his troops have everything they need to be strong for the battle. As our heavenly King, God will certainly ensure that we, His Christian soldiers, have all we need to fight the battle here on earth. And so we must seek these things from the Lord, even physical things. For example, if we are to make the most out of Sunday school and Sunday worship, we need to make sure we have had the sleep and the food and the coffee we need to pay attention. If we want to glorify God by helping others, we need to have skills and resources to give. And this is the perspective we need to adopt when it comes to physical, earthly things. Friends, we must learn that our earthly possessions are not an end in themselves. Sadly, many people see their food, drink, and shelter this way, as if its purpose were only for their own personal enjoyment. But that's not a biblical way to view our earthly possessions. The Christian must see that everything he has is a means to a greater end. Ultimately, the end purpose of glorifying and enjoying God by seeking to fulfill his mission in the world. And so that mentality must guide our prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We must remember that ultimately the reason we are asking God for these earthly provisions is so that we can use them to hallow his name, to seek the coming of his kingdom, and to see that his will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so let's consider this prayer Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. There's much we can learn from these words. First, notice that it is a modest request. As our catechism points out, the word bread stands for all our physical needs, things such as food, a home, clothes, employment, medical treatment. But the word our Lord chose to use was not filet mignon or lobster, but simply bread. Christ is instructing us to ask our Heavenly Father not for anything fancy or exorbitant, but simply for bread. Not to ask for luxury, but for a basic staple. And this is consistent with the teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6:6-8. There Paul writes, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content." Friends, Jesus teaches us to pray for what we need. Now, truly, the Lord often blesses us with much more. But will we be content if we simply have the bare necessities? Will you be content if you have what is needed for you and your family to stay warm, fed, and healthy? That is how the Lord teaches us to pray. And what's more, not only do we pray for bread, but we pray for our daily bread. We pray for what is needed today. The Lord does not teach us to ask for a full year's supply, or a barn or a freezer full of food. We do not pray that the Lord will give us this day all the things we need for the rest of our earthly life, but we only ask for what we need today. This is a modest request. Second, it is a corporate request. Notice also that the prayer is not, "Give me this day my daily bread." It is, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm not only praying for myself. We are praying for the whole church. And friends, in this way, the prayer reminds us that in the providence of God, you may have the opportunity to be the answer to someone else's prayer for what they need today. If you have enough for a month or a year, but a brother or sister in the church does not have what they need today, then you need to be the answer to their prayer. As the Lord blesses us with extra, with more than is needful for today, we need to bless others. We pray together with the family of God, and that means we must share when others are in need. Consider what James writes in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 of his letter. James writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." You see, friends, the sharing of food and of clothing is evidence of genuine faith. And if we who refuse to share these gifts with one another, well, that's evidence that a person's faith is dead. Genuine faith always results in doing good works and in showing genuine concern for others. Of course, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't plan for the future. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't save for retirement or for a rainy day. Yes, we must be wise. But what it does mean is that we need to share out of the abundance with which God has blessed us. This is a corporate request. But third, this prayer is also a constant request. By its very nature, this is a prayer we must pray every single day. Give us this day our daily bread. And because it is a constant request, this prayer teaches and reminds us that we must never take our possessions for granted. We must look to the Lord each and every single day for our daily bread. You see, you can store up however much you'd like. You may have a well-paying job. You may have many beautiful homes. You can acquire warehouses and bunkers full of provisions. But friends, apart from God's blessing, your possessions, your home, your employment, it can all vanish in an instant. Beware of putting your trust in your income, in your pension, in your bank account, or in full barns. God alone is worthy of your trust. In fact, we must recognize that every time we sit down to eat a meal that is set before us, it is ultimately only because of God's goodness, His grace, that we may enjoy even this meal this day. And so we must constantly pray, give us this day our daily bread. But how does the Lord answer our prayer? Well, it's important to understand that prayer is not a replacement for work. We may not pray our prayer and then just sit back, relax, and wait for God to answer it. We must be actively seeking an answer for the things we pray for by the means God provides. And what are the means by which God ordinarily answers this prayer for daily bread? Well, usually through employment. By God's grace, we work, we are paid for our work, and we are able to buy bread. As Van Bruggen writes, the Lord does not teach us to pray for manna, but for bread. And bread does not fall from the sky, but comes about through much arduous work by people. If we are going to pray for our livelihood in the manner taught by the Lord, we must also be willing to work. But however much we are required to work, we pray for our bread from the Lord. Now, this is something many unbelievers do not understand. They mock Christians for praying because they think we pray because we cannot or will not actually do something about the situation. But they're wrong. We don't pray instead of working. We pray that we might work and that our work might be fruitful. So if you are praying, give us this day our daily bread, but you are unwilling to put in a good day's work to receive that bread, God is not happy with you. To behave that way is to treat prayer like a magic charm. For the Lord often answers our prayers by providing us with the means to seek His answer. And throughout Scripture, God makes it clear that He is opposed to laziness. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing." Proverbs 10:4 says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." And 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." And that last verse shows us that God's command that we should share with others does not mean we should enable a person who's just being lazy. If they want to work, but they don't have what they need, then yes, of course, we must help them. But if they're simply refusing to work, then we must not enable them in their bad behavior. That said, there are times when a person finds him or herself in a situation where they cannot get a job or where they cannot work because of a disability. And if that ever happens to you, if you ever find yourself in that situation, then seek the help that you need. Don't be ashamed to talk to the deacons and share your need with them. That's what the church is for. As one pastor writes, "We who live by grace must not be too proud to receive when God has withheld from us what He gave to others. This may be the way in which God chooses to answer our prayer for our daily needs." So the Lord answers this prayer through different means, whether through work or through a pension or through the generosity of the church. Thankfully, we can pray to Him. Thankfully, we do have the privilege to come before the Lord and lay our earthly needs before Him. And the blessing of prayer is that it takes the worry out of life. No, we may not always have everything we want, but we can be confident that the Lord will truly provide for us everything we need in this life and in the next. If, as the Scriptures say, even earthly fathers won't give their children stones in place of bread or a snake instead of a fish, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? In Matthew 6, 30 through 32, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And so pray to your Heavenly Father, who truly cares for your needs. And may you work diligently, but may your life of prayer free you from working with the terror that haunts those who always worry about tomorrow. And may it also free you from the greed that tempts workers to act dishonestly. May prayer free you to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, so that the world might see that we have a God who loves us and cares about us, a God whom we trust and who is worthy of our trust, a God who faithfully answers our prayers through various means. But something else our catechism sets forth is our motivation in praying for this. We ask God to provide so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Friends, apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. On the other hand, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. And the context of that famous passage has to do with contentment. Paul writes, "I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Friends, what we need to learn is that so long as we have the Lord's blessing, we have everything we truly need. And what's more, to be physically wealthy is not always the best situation for a person. No, it is not wrong to be rich, but being rich brings with it all sorts of dangers. And that is why we find this rather odd prayer in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 30, 7 through 9, Agur prays to the Lord, "Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Here Agur prays that the Lord will govern his circumstances. He prays first that the Lord will not give him poverty. And we can understand that, right? Who wants to be poor? But then Agur also prays that the Lord will not give him riches either. And I think our reaction to that one's a little different, right? Who would pray a prayer like that? And why? Well, when we have lots of money, we run the danger of losing our sense of childlike dependence upon God. The rich often tend to rely on their own resources. When we have money, we gain a sense of independence and pride and self-sufficiency. As Agur puts it, the danger is that we might be full and deny the Lord and say, "Who is the Lord?" Agur is concerned that if he has great wealth, he may stop depending upon the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. And perhaps some of us struggle with this. How often do you sincerely pray from the heart, "Lord, please give us this day our daily bread. Lord, please, because I know we will only have what we need if you are gracious to us, if you, O Lord, bless us." Have you sincerely prayed that way to the Lord at all recently? And if not, well, maybe when you've got a great job, when you've got money in the bank, when you've got a car that runs and a roof over your head, the temptation is to think we're doing okay on our own here. And then prayer becomes a mere formality. We just go through the motions. We don't sincerely desire these things from the Lord because we don't think we need them from the Lord. When everything is fine and dandy, we run the danger of trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in the Lord. Dear friend, does that describe you? Are you trusting in the Lord? Or are you trusting in yourself? But another temptation that often comes with riches is the desire for more riches. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 says, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." In itself, wealth is not evil. In fact, elsewhere in the Proverbs, wealth is described as a blessing and a reward from the Lord. But we need to know ourselves and our own hearts. And if you find, as Agur did, that wealth would be a danger for you, then pray his prayer for yourself. On the other hand, those living in poverty also tend to focus on money, and that's why Agur also prays that the Lord will not give him poverty, lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You can see where Agur is going with this, can't you? Agur is asking the Lord to provide the circumstances which will least distract him from glorifying God. He knows that either riches or poverty would be a distraction to him, and so he prays that the Lord will give him a modest but sufficient living. For Agur knows that having lots of bread is not the most important thing. For man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Sadly, as one pastor points out, many people might prefer to skip a church service rather than skip a meal. And that shows where our hearts are. This is why we should all consider praying a prayer similar to Agur's. "Lord, I am weak. Please grant me the circumstances in which I will most fully honor you. If you bless me with riches, help me to be generous with them, to use them for your glory, and not to make an idol out of them. Lord, please help me to remember that I depend upon you for my daily bread every single day. And Lord, please bless me and provide for me, but don't bless me with more stuff. In fact, don't bless me with any stuff that might compromise my relationship to you. Just give us this day our daily bread to strengthen us for service to you, O Lord. And with that, help us to be content. Help us to give you the glory you deserve." But friends, although we must learn to pray modestly, although we must learn to pray for contentment and to seek in everything not our own glory but the glory of the Lord, the thing is, our God is incredibly generous. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Brothers and sisters, the Lord does not want you to be miserable. As the Scripture says, He richly provides you with everything to enjoy. He does not give us the bare minimum, not at all. And think about this. Who is your God? Who is He? Is He trustworthy? Well, as Romans 8:32 says, He is the God who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. And that leads Paul to ask the question, how will God not also with Christ graciously give us all things? He will. Believer, the Lord will give you everything you need. And we know this because of Christ. Friends, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered hunger so that we could receive our bread. Our Lord Jesus Christ was parched by thirst so that we might drink of Him who is the living water. Our Lord Jesus died so that all who trust in Him might receive forgiveness and justification and ultimately eternal life. And so trust in the Lord to provide your needs. If your Father in heaven has given you His only begotten Son, will He not much more provide for your physical needs this day? Let's look to Him in faith and trust in Him, not in our earthly wealth. Let us remember to ask Him each day for our daily bread. May we expect and believe that He will give it. Dear friends, know that the Lord will provide every means we need to hallow His name, to build His kingdom, and to do His will here on earth. For as the Scripture says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord make you richly fruitful for the sake of His glory. Amen. Let's pray.